broadcasting from the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studios. You'd rather be here. We are KCIM.
8:06 here on this Tuesday morning. 55 already, which yesterday 55 would have been the wind gust, but today we're talking of being the temperature, so that's a whole lot better. Got a special in-studio guest with us this morning, Brian Best, who has just wrapped up his final legislative session as House Representative. Brian, you announced you're not going to be running again, so tell me, at the end of the session, it was like junior high. You grabbed all your papers, you chucked them in the garbage can, and you walked out.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Except for, you know, in school, we used to be able to wear Bermuda shorts.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was a kid.
They frown on that?
They frown on that. I still had to wear a suit.
Yeah.
You could have gone the Big Lebowski on your final day.
Yeah. Just walked in a bathrobe.
Absolutely. I mean, you would have made headlines on that one for sure.
Oh, yeah. Go out. If you're going to go out with some pizzazz in there. So, but you did wrap up your final legislative session. Give us your grade on it. Overall, what do you think? How did you guys do? Give it a letter grade.
I'd give it a B, I guess. There were some things that there's some things we did that I think were really, really good. I'm really happy we were able to get the flat tax at 3.8 beginning January 1st of next year. So we did move that up, and we moved it from 3.9 to 3.8, which will take effect next tax year. So that was a good one. We also we worked on traffic cameras. And so that's something that I've been, as transportation chair, have been working on for a couple years, because in the state of Iowa, we have had traffic cameras coming up everywhere, in places where they're needed and places where they're not. And traffic cameras need to be out there for a safety reason, not for a tax grab. And they were becoming a tax grab. So we did some pretty stiff regulations on getting a traffic camera in your community. If a community wants one, there has to be a reason. There has to be safety features that go through the DOT. So the Department of Transportation will make that decision. But you have to.
They're going to have to give you the evidence why they need it. They have to prove, in other words, why they need it in that situation.
Yep, they have to prove why they need it. There has to be a lot of traffic accidents and things like that have been done in the past, and there has to actually been other options tried besides just going with the traffic camera right away. So I think that's pretty fair.
The AEA bill was obviously one that's been talked about quite a bit throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
So not to talk about the discourse, but on the final solution, would you consider that that B grade in terms of, what you landed on, pretty satisfied with that?
Yeah, I guess so. That was a really hard vote for me. And it's a vote that if there was not a vote, I think it would have come back next year, and I think it could have been much more. It could have been a tougher bill for the AEAs than what this one was. It was hard for me to vote for it, but when you put the 5.5% teacher pay raise on there, that actually got Iowa's I believe we were in the bottom 10 and moved up to the top 5. So I mean, it was pretty dramatic, the amount that beginning teachers will be paid, and there are no teachers. Nobody's even applying for those jobs, so we got to do something to get that beefed up a little bit.
So what was your issue with the bill? You said it was a tough vote for you. What was your issues with it?
My issue with the bill, I guess, would be, for one thing, it was brought out in such a way that, I'm being a little bit critical of our party. Instead of us saying, let's just take a look at this and let's work with them and let's get something done. And everybody would probably say that there are some issues with the AEAs. They're not perfect, but nobody's perfect. So instead of us saying, we got to go out there and get this thing taken care of, it could have been done in a slower manner, where you instead of just making decisions and passing bills, it would have been better, in my opinion, to bring them to the table. Maybe it'd take a year or two to get the reform, but it didn't have to be done right away. But with the vote that I took, I just had in mind that it probably would have come back even more stringent, and the teacher pay never would have happened. Neither would have the folks that helped the teachers.
So in other words, the good kind of outweighed the bad in your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, the good outweighed the bad.
What about, they say that a lot of people with AEAs right now are going to be leaving those organizations as a result of this bill?
Well, I'm hearing that. I don't know that any of them have been fired. I think a lot of them
I think just kind of willingly leaving.
Willingly leaving, which makes me feel bad. And again, I think that's a little bit on us. I think that we have some of the things that were said in the governor's speech, some of the things that were brought out were very critical. It wasn't, it was kind of harsh. And so I feel like public education in general in the last couple of years, as a party, we should have done a better job of saying we do value you, instead of saying that you're either on one side or the other. And it seemed like it just got so polarized, and I feel really bad about that.
Whenever you have a session, there's always a few bills that you thought, man, I thought we were going to get that across the finish line, thought we were going to get that into law, and it kind of fell short. And I'm sure there's three or four that come to mind. What would those be for you?
Well, the obvious one, and everybody's probably tired of hearing me talk about pharmacy benefit manager bills, but that's one that passed the House, again, unanimously. And that was a bill that would have improved the situation for local pharmacies, independent pharmacies. And it didn't even get to the House or the Senate floor after it passed the House unanimously. And that's part of politics that can drive a person crazy, that a very few in the highest power can take a bill and not let it get to the floor where it might have passed the Senate unanimously as well. So politics is a strange thing, and that one is driving me crazy, though, because there is data out there of how many local small-town pharmacies we have lost in the last couple years, and it isn't surprising to me, because when you're at the hands of a company who does not care about you as a local pharmacy, and they control everything. They hold all the cards, and so that was a tough one. And there's no doubt in my mind this is going to happen. This reform is going to happen. It's happened in other states, and we're really late getting to the table here in Iowa. Very disappointing. When they do finally figure it out, my question is going to be, how many pharmacies could have been saved if we would have just done this when we should have?
You made a comment about local pharmacies. I think this is a very interesting story. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and a family, I don't know who it was, right? The pharmacist just like, hey, they're going on vacation, something happened. He uses the same insulin as you, this other person. And again, HIPAA exists. I don't know who it is. But the pharmacist asked me, he's like, hey, can they use some of your stuff? Like, we don't have theirs in stock right now, but yours is. Absolutely. Those little small things that like a big, like CVS Caremark is not going to do that for people. But your folks at, you know, Lincoln Highway or at Hy-Vee, wherever you go, wherever your pharmacy at, the value of those small town things cannot be forgotten.
That's right. That's right. And it's, even if it's, you know, for all those reasons and for the economy, for the Main Street economy and small communities, that's one less business that you have. And I envision a day when, and I hope this never happens, but you're going to drive 60 miles to a huge pharmacy if you want to speak to a pharmacist. Otherwise, it's all just going to come to you in the mail.
And some insurance companies require you to do it that way, which is, we could go down a whole rabbit hole on that one. But shifting gears, you mentioned the income tax going from 3.9 to 3.8, so kind of accelerating that a little bit. I believe it was at the first or second legislative forum of this year. There was a little bit of concern from both you and Senator Schultz during that forum, like, if you go too quick, you might kind of undo what you were trying to accomplish with that. That is that tenth of a percent going to make that much of a difference in terms of overall tax revenue?
No, the tenth of a percent I don't think is going to be a problem at all. I think that there was originally a talk of going to a much greater reduction starting in next year. And so 3.8 at a 0.1%, no, I don't think so. If they would have tried to get down to 3% or something like that, I think we could have seen some problems. Kansas did this a number of years ago, and it was a disaster. And so we have to be careful.
Do you think that it can ever get down to zero like the governor wants?
My personal opinion is I don't see how you can do it without making, you know, finding revenue in other ways. So if the state's going to have to find revenue in other ways, that's just a different form of taxation. Mm-hmm. So I don't see it. No. And I think this is fantastic. I mean, I think at 3.8%, flat tax, I think, puts us up there with a lot of states. And one thing we got to be careful we do in the state of Iowa, too, is we've been, as a state legislature, we've always wanted to take advantage want to tell the taxpayers all these great things we're doing for them. At the same time, we've made it much harder on the county level and much harder on supervisors and city officials when it comes to property tax, because they got to find the money somewhere. And so we're taking money away, and then we're putting more, and we have done this. We've put much more things that they were required to do. And so it's like an unfunded mandate. It's okay, you know, here you go, you make it work. And so I think we got to be really careful in the future. One thing that always kind of surprised me a little bit was whenever we were working on these property tax bills in the past, and we've been doing things for the last 6 or 7 years, I don't think I ever saw a county supervisor or a city official invited down to the state house to help us, you know, write these bills. Why not? Why not bring them in? And we were bad about that.
Well, it goes kind of against the whole Republic thing. You want less regulation, but then you're putting more regulations on the county supervisors and things like that. So it goes against the philosophy of the whole party.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's been a saying that goes out there once in a while. It's like, we're for local control until we're not. And yeah, that's sometimes what happens.
That is unfortunately true. Yeah, yeah, a lot of times.
If I'm getting the House file right, I believe it's House File 718 from last session. Is that that's the bill you're referring to? Correct.
Yes.
So looking at that bill, just listen for like anecdotally here in Carroll County, relatively speaking, a pretty well controlled tight budget. Obviously, there's always room for improvement in any budget, but hearing from those supervisors, they're like, we've run a tight ship for years. And then now we have a little bit of growth that is well within our means, and you're cutting our legs out from underneath us. But what their question, I'm sure, to you would be, and maybe will be on Saturday at the forum, is there any interest in maybe changing how that bill functions next session or 2-3 years from now?
Oh, I think there's always that possibility. Yeah, you know, I think as a legislature, we look and see the things we've done, and I don't think anybody would say that we don't always get it right. And so taking a look back and say, okay, is there something that we could do to tweak this and make it better for the locals? I think that they should do it. Absolutely.
Is there an appetite for that, though?
I think that there's always a possibility. You know, it's an interesting thing. You know, when I look back at my tenure when I got down there, the big argument that a lot of schools had was, you know, loosen up those silos a little bit. There's all these different silos, all these categories of money, and some schools would have huge amounts of money sitting in one silo. They couldn't touch it because they didn't need it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is one of those things that within 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden, it was the thing to do. My first 2 years down there, us new guys came in and we says, well, how come we're doing this? And the older ones said, well, it's just the way it always been, and that's the way it needs to be. And that was kind of the reason. Well, this is one of those examples where, you know, over time, I think that they're going to look and say, okay, yeah, maybe we need to take another look at this. We just want to get it right.
Yeah, there's a case in a lot of businesses out there. It's just because what we've always done, and the times have changed for all of that. So we got to move on here, but just real quickly here before we wrap things up, take a look back at your 10 years in the legislature and things, and talk about what kind of an experience that was to be in public office.
I'll tell you what, it's hard to explain other than say that it's just been a fantastic experience. And the fact that five different elections, the folks of this district trusted me and put their trust in me to go down there and do the best that I could, it means a lot. And I was just thinking the other day, I gave a retirement speech, and retirement speeches are actually oftentimes emotional. Mine really wasn't, but sometimes, you know, you have guys like me that get up there and they really get kind of teary-eyed because of just what a fantastic experience it is. The people that you meet and just really interesting people that you form lifelong friendships with. But I was just grateful that I got to give a retirement speech because many times as the political winds change, and you lose your people, lose elections, then they don't have the opportunity to give a retirement speech because they're gone. They don't get to come back the next year. And so I was just blessed to be able to do that, to go out on my own terms. Really enjoyed it. That is the most beautiful building, I swear, in the Midwest. And just to go in there and work every day, just a tremendous blessing. That's all I can say.
door closed on any other future runs?
Well, I'm too young to run for president, so I guess I'm just going to get out of politics. This
time. Hey, Congress is still an option, though.
So the door, it's cracked. You're saying there's a chance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like one in a million, yeah.
Probably right. The most political answer Brian's ever given.
Possibly. Brian, it's been great dealing with you. Thank you so much. You've always been so great about coming in and just, you know, and talking openly with us. Your frustrations, your joys and stuff of doing it, and it's been an absolute pleasure working with you.
Thank you. You too. Your boy's been great to work with, and I love coming in here and giving these talks. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Brian Best, once again, outgoing representative here. We thank him for his time, of course, and we'll have this whole interview podcast. If he missed anything, we'll have it available for you here coming up in just a bit.